Let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word this morning and turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we'll be looking at one verse there, verse 62. But let me catch you up in case you didn't get a chance to see it this past week. We have a new world record holder for the mile race. Did anybody see that? I got one. Got one over here. A guy by the name of John Kerr finished last week, July the 18th. He ran the mile in 3 minutes and 42 seconds. That's pretty quick, isn't it? I run a mile in about 10 minutes. So if that gives you any kind of point of frame of reference there, I love to run. I like to do that. I've been doing that for several years. And so when I see stories like this, it catches my eye. But he set a new world record. But that makes me think of another story that is also intriguing and ties into our sermon today about looking back. You may have heard this story before. It took place in 1954, which, if my math is correct, that's about 72 years ago. In 1954, there was two men, Roger Bannister and John Landy. Roger Bannister was an Englishman who was a medical student who kind of got into track and field and running just by accident, really, and found out that he loved it, and he was gifted for that. And he ended up setting a world record in 1954, running the mile in less than 4 minutes, won the first. But there was a guy on his heels by the name of John Landy. He was an Australian, and a few months after Roger Bannister set the record, then John Landy beat his record. So they were both in kind of competition to see who was the world's fastest man back in 1954. And so on August the 7th in Vancouver, British Columbia, they met for something called the Transcontinental Games of that day, and it was supposed to be the race of all races. These two men were going head-to-head to see, finally, who was the fastest man in the one-mile sprint in that day. And so they got there, and there was much publicity, and Roger Bannister was facing John Landy. John Landy was the dedicated athlete. And again, Roger Bannister was kind of this medical student who got into running by accident, really. And so there they were head-to-head at this race on August the 7th, 1954. And the gun went off, and they started the race, and John Landy jumped out to a big lead. I mean, he was smoking, man. He was on a world record pace. But as he was running, as he kind of turned that last corner there and was headed toward the finish line, he could feel Roger Bannister coming up behind him. And so John Landy, as he's headed toward the finish line, he makes a fatal mistake. He could feel Roger Bannister on his left side coming up behind him. So what does he do as he's running? He takes a quick glance back to the left. Well, when he looked back, Roger Bannister went around him on the right and passed him. John Landy lost the race because he looked back. Folks, when we look back, we hurt ourselves spiritually. So today I want to give you five reasons why we as Christians should not look back. And I want us to look at one verse today, and I want you to stand in honor and reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. And look at with me in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 9, you should be already there, verse 62. One verse. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life and loving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for these sweet people that you have gathered together, known as Hillaby Baptist Church, and this koinonia, this ecclesia, this gathering. And God, I pray that you send them a pastor, send them a leader, send them a shepherd. And God, may they look to you. May they look to the author and finisher of our faith. May they look unto Jesus for the joy that was set before him, took the cross on our behalf and provides us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And God, I pray if there's one here today who has never looked unto Jesus as their Savior, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. And Lord, we just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you for this time together. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see the glory of your gospel. And may we respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So five reasons why we should not look back. If you're taking notes with me today, I believe the first reason that we should not look back is because we should not look back on sins that have been forgiven. We should not look back on sins that have been forgiven. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, our adversary, also known as the accuser, Satan, he loves to remind us of our past sins, doesn't he? We were out on the lake a few weeks ago with some friends. And we were just enjoying the lake, and the guy who was driving the boat, he began to tell me about how he likes to fish at night. And he was telling me all the reasons why he likes to fish at night. He said, well, there's less traffic, it's a lot cooler, it's more tranquil. And he said, I just love to fish at night, it's a great experience. And I began to think about that, and I thought, well, from a spiritual standpoint, our adversary, our accuser, Satan, he loves to fish at night too, doesn't he? Because he loves to go fishing in the dark places of our life and reel up our old junk and show it to us, doesn't he? It's kind of like some of you when you catch a fish, and I'm not a big fisherman, but I've noticed when you catch a fish, you'll take that fish and you hold it real close to the camera, right? So it looks bigger than what it is. It's magnified. Right? That's what Satan does to us. He takes our sin and he reels it up out of the dark places of our life and he shoves it in our face. Look what you did. I want you to know today, if you have been washed in the blood, if you truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven. Don't let the accuser rub it in your face. You say, get behind me, Satan. Because the Bible tells us also in Psalm 103, looking forward to the one who would come to give us redemption, that our sin has been placed as far as the east is from the west. And there, the other blessing of that is not only looking at past sins, but Jesus Christ saves us of our sins past, present, and future. That'd be a good place for an amen, right? So don't let our adversary, don't let the great accuser keep shoving your sin and your past in your face. Because you've been forgiven. You're under the blood. You've been saved by grace. So don't look back at that. Right? Don't keep looking back on our past sins because they have been forgiven. So we should not look back on sins that have been forgiven. But I believe there's something else. Don't look back on defeats and failures. Don't look back on your defeats and failures and let that be a discouragement to you. You know, as we walk through life, all the experiences that we go through, we have many setbacks and failures, and you know, it's life. We live in a fallen world, don't we? Things are not perfect. We're going to mess up. But we got to keep a positive attitude, church. Do you know, I was doing a little research, and those who have a positive attitude, if you have no other motivation to have a positive attitude other than this, guess what? Those who have a positive attitude in life live on average of 15% longer than those who have a negative attitude. So don't get discouraged and get in the mully grubs. Not nobody from Hillaby ever has the mully grubs, but you know what? Sometimes I do. And I have to be reminded of this. Don't get caught up in that stinking thinking, right? Because it'll pull you down. It affects you physically too. You know why most people have heart attacks on Monday between 6 and 10? Because our mental is connected to our physical. You go to work, you get all stressed out, and people have heart attacks. Most heart attacks occur, statistics tell us, on Mondays between 6 and 10. Why? Because our mental is connected to our physical. You can make yourself sick if you dwell on the negative all the time. Y'all mighty quiet. Y'all okay? But don't look back at those past defeats and failures and let them get you down. You know, so in God's sovereignty, I've been listening to a book by the name a guy by the name of Timothy Whitner. And he wrote a book called God is God and I'm Not. And I listened to it on Audible, and it's such a wonderful book. But in there, he talked about the blessing of God's sovereignty, how He is overall in control. And it talked about how God is sovereign, and He's sovereign even in the setbacks of our life. Amen? Romans 8:28, all things work together. Now, all things that happen to us are not good, but in God's sovereignty, if you love God, He uses all things for your good and His glory. Romans 8:28. All of us know that verse. So in God's sovereignty, He even uses setbacks. You know, a Baptist preacher, it's a prerequisite that we like two things: fried chicken and black coffee. And yes, I love them both. We got any KFC fans in here today? Oh yeah. Anybody ever done any reading on Colonel Sanders? You know how many times Colonel Sanders failed? Told him, now I'll take your chicken and your secret recipe and go on down the road. Over 1,000 times. But I think on the 1,009th time, somebody said yes. Now it would have been easy for him to get just mired down in the defeat and the failure, but he did not. Anybody in here like WD-40? I think with WD-40, a crescent wrench, and some duct tape, we can fix the world. Amen? Anybody know where WD-40 got its name? The WD stands for water displacement. The 40 comes from the number of times that they failed in coming up with a formula that was successful. So 39 times they failed, but on the 40th they got it right. So church, we can't let our failures and our setbacks bother us. We can't look back on that. To bring it into a little bit more of a biblical analogy, we all know about Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the heroes of the faith, right? All of them were great godly people. They wouldn't have been in that chapter. We read about them in the Old Testament. Guess what? None of them were perfect. But all of them had this in common. They were people who looked ahead by faith. You think about Abraham and Moses. All of them had to live their life by looking ahead in faith. Did they have setbacks? Did they have failures? Absolutely. God's people are people who look ahead in faith. The Bible tells us three times that the just shall live by faith. So, dear Christian, we can't let our failures destroy us. We can't look back on those and let them discourage us. We got to look ahead in faith. So the second reason why we shouldn't look back is we shouldn't look back on defeats and failures. We shouldn't look back on our sins because they've been forgiven. Now let's look at another one. We shouldn't look back on the past and see it better than it was. We love to make the past the hero, don't we? We got to be careful of that, church. Our brain, the way we're wired, we love to romanticize the past, thinking that it was better than what it was. That's one reason why I love to study history. Because when you study history and read biographies of those who come before us, you know that life wasn't perfect back then either. In many ways, we have it a lot better now than they did in the past. Can air conditioning get an amen today? All right. Can y'all imagine how long this sermon would be if we didn't have a wonderful heating and air unit to keep us all about 70 degrees? Can y'all imagine if we still had to plow and get our food from a garden by plowing behind a mule? Now, there's some qualities, character qualities that come from that, but I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sign up for that anytime soon. We've got to be careful not making the past the hero. I think in the church, we struggle with this. If we look at the history of Israel, we're just like the children of Israel in many ways. If you read through the Old Testament, you see how God's people, right after He had redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt, I mean, the waters in the Red Sea hadn't even stopped rippling yet. And they began to complain, right? Oh, Moses, you brought us out here and we're thirsty, no water. We're hungry. Moses, what are we going to eat? Or the one that I like, if you'll just write this down and refer to it later, Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, God's people began to complain because they didn't have any meat. I guess the protein diet was kind of getting a fad back in those days too, right? There's nothing new under the sun, right? We don't have any meat, Moses. And they began to complain, oh, it was so much better in Egypt. We had fish, we had cucumbers and leeks. What's a leek? Anyway, that's another. We had all this stuff in Egypt, Moses. It was so much better. But they forgot that they were in bondage. Why is that? We always look at the past like it's so much better. Church, we got to be careful of this. We can't make the past the hero. I want to give you a passage of Scripture today from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I just finished reading through. Go ahead and turn there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Just finished reading that wonderful book in my daily Bible reading. I hope that you guys are digging into the Word each and every day. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I ran across this verse just the other day. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. When you get there, say amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. This is what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. It says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. So, church, we got to be careful about making the past the hero. I love tradition. I believe we need to remember the past and learn from the past, but we got to focus on the future. Again, those folks in Hebrews chapter 11, they focused on the future. Church, we got to focus on the future. Church, you got to focus on the future when you look for your next pastor, right? You know, the saddest words that I hear in church today, well, preacher, we've just never done it that way before. There's a book that I ran across just the other day. And actually, a dear lady who was a member of this church bought it for me in 2014. Miss Susan Futrell. Anybody remember Miss Susan? Amen. Miss Susan Futrell bought me a book in 2014 and she signed it. Said, thank you for responding to God's call, blah, blah, blah. But the name of the book was An Autopsy of a Deceased Church by Tom Rainer. And it warned about churches who live in the past. And it's not good. So don't live in the past. The best is yet to come. That's an amen. Amen. The best is yet to come. Amen. Have y'all ever heard of Harry Truman? Not the president. He was a guy who lived at the base of Mount St. Helens in 1980. All the scientists were monitoring that mountain and saying, it's going to blow. You better leave. But he dug his heels in and said, obstinately said, nah, I'm staying right here. I'm not changing. I'm not going anywhere. Governmental officials got involved and said, Harry, you got to go. It's going to blow. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but that's just the way it came out right there. Now I'm not leaving. I'm not changing. This is my home. I'm staying right here. His family, Harry, you got to go. It's going to blow. Nope, not changing, not leaving. So on May the 18th of 1980, it blew. And Harry died. Folks, we can't make the past the hero. We got to look to the future because the best is yet to come. So don't look back thinking that everything was perfect in the past because really, the best is yet to come. That was a lot of oh me's instead of amens, but let's move on to the next one. We should not look back on the past and see it better than it was, but we also should not look back on our past conflicts because they make us bitter. Don't look back on our past conflicts because they just make us bitter. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, in the NIV translation, it basically says this: keep no records of wrong. That's the love chapter. Keep no records of wrong. What is it about in our flesh, at the way we're wired? Boy, we want to keep a running notebook in our mind of every ugly thing that somebody says to us or every stink eye. I still remember that term. Miss Rhonda taught me that. The stink eye. We want to remember those things. We want to remember how people have wronged us. You know, it doesn't hurt them, it only hurts us because it makes us bitter. That old root of bitterness will grow and grow and grow and destroy you from the inside out. Remember, we're talking about those things that if we look back, they destroy us spiritually. So we can't look back on those past conflicts because they only make us more and more bitter. They hurt us. If we rehash and rehearse, those old hurts return. It's just like a wound that we get on our body. A few weeks ago, my baby girl had her shins up, and it was wounded, and it started to heal. And you know, sometimes, why is it when we get a place that we bump and it's starting to heal and scab over, we automatically going to bump it again and knock the scab off, and it's just start all over, right? Well, that's what we do every time when we rehash those old hurts. So why do we look back on that? You know, Jesus saves us not only of our sins, but our guilt and our shame. And He said that He forgives us of our sins. So if we've been forgiven, why should we not forgive those who trespass against us? I think that's in the Bible, right? So don't look back on all those old past conflicts because they make us bitter. I think we need to adopt some advice from Elsa. Y'all seen the movie Frozen, the grandkids, right? Let it go. That's a spiritual word for you today. Let it go. Quit dragging it around. It's just hurting you. It's hamstringing. I love that word they used a lot in the Old Testament. It's going to hamstring your walk with Christ if you keep hanging on to all that old conflict and hurt. Let it go. You know, I was sitting over there, Miss Kathy. I guess I was being a little nosy. Is that okay? Because I noticed you had written down some words on an envelope today. And I thought, my goodness, I think she's read my sermon. But you had written down four phrases. Let it be, lay it down, and let it go. Surrender it all. So, don't look back on your past conflicts that make us bitter. Don't look back on the past thinking it was better. But one last one, we shouldn't look back on past victories because it might cause us to think that we have arrived. Don't look back on our past victories because it might make us think that we have arrived. I can't help but think about Nebuchadnezzar over in the book of Daniel. Y'all remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He walked out on his palace and he said, look at all of this whole universe that is in my control. Look at everything that I have created. And over and over and over, he kept using the pronoun I. Look what I have done, how great I am. And immediately God struck him and he was on all fours, grazing like an animal. He went from the palace to the pasture in just a matter of moments. Why? Pride, thinking he had arrived. We must be careful of looking back on those past victories, thinking that we have arrived. I think about the Apostle Paul. If anybody had reason to have a big head, it would be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a great intellect. He was trained by the world's greatest scholars of the day, a guy by the name of Gamaliel. He was a trained Pharisee. Prior to his conversion in Acts chapter 9, he actually persecuted Christians. He wanted to do away with the way, the church. His name was Saul, but then God changed his life, changed his name. in Acts chapter 9. But if anybody had a reason to have a big head, it was Paul. Smart. He actually went on to write 13 books of the New Testament, planted I don't know how many churches, was a vessel unto God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But you know what he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself to the point of a bondservant, talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would look unto Christ, and that would be a humbling experience. And that should for us as well. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took our punishment at Calvary's cross. So if for no other reason that we should be humbled, just look at what Jesus did for you and for me. We have no reason to brag. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to a holy God. The only thing good in us, if we're born again, the only thing good in us is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul, over and over and over in his writings, said, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. So why should we look back thinking we've accomplished something? All glory should go to Him. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:31, should be to the glory of God. So let us be leery of looking back. Because really, it's not about looking back thinking about what we've done in the past. It's really about what have we done today? What are we doing today to build the kingdom? What are we doing today to grow in our walk with Christ? So let's be careful about looking back. Looking back is hazardous to our spiritual health. I want to leave you with one final illustration. You know it well. It's from Genesis chapter 19. The story of Lot's wife. If you remember in Genesis chapter 19, that's the passage where the angels came and told Lot, we're about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And by God's grace and mercy, I love that passage, said He led them by the hand to get them out of there, just like God does us. His grace and mercy saves us. He draws us. He compels us. He said, I'm going to take you out of this wicked city, which, by the way, homosexuality was the main reason that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Go read the passage. He said, I'm going to destroy it. But Lot, you and your family, I will rescue you. By the way, that's what God did to us through Jesus Christ. Rescues us. We didn't deserve it, but He did it by His grace and His mercy. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And so there in that passage, I'm going to rescue you. So he goes and gets Lot and his family. Starts leading them out. He said, don't look back. But if you know that passage, and if you haven't read it in a while, maybe go and read Genesis chapter 19, refresh your memory. As he's leading them out, as the angel's leading Lot and his family out, you remember what Lot's wife did. She turned back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Now, I'm not saying today that you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. But I am saying if you keep looking back on your past victories, thinking you've accomplished something, if you keep looking back at those past conflicts that are making you bitter. If you keep looking back at the past thinking it was better. If you keep looking back at those defeats and failures and letting it give you a negative attitude. And if you keep looking back on those sins that have been forgiven, you're going to really, really hurt your spiritual walk with Christ. So don't look back. Look ahead. That's what Paul said, right? We just talked about Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, I press on for the glory of God. In Hebrews, we talked about Hebrews chapter 11, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it said, we have been encompassed by this great cloud of witnesses. But we are to look unto Jesus. Come on. Look unto Jesus. So don't look back. Press on and look up to the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you by His grace. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look back. Look up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus Christ, who truly indeed is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, be with us this way. Forgive us where we fail You, Lord. Lord, help us to start over again, to start anew. Lord, thank You that the old things have passed away and new things have come. Thank You, Lord, that because of what You did at the cross, that we can approach Your throne with boldness. God, thank You for Your mercies and how they're new every morning. Every day, God, You bless us in so many ways. Lord, and I pray if there's one here today who maybe they need to rededicate their life, or Lord, maybe they have realized today they've never really surrendered all, and they need to come to this altar and look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith and give their life to Christ. May today be that day of salvation. So Lord, whatever needs to happen in this time of decision and reflection, Lord, this is Your time. It's not ours. It's not a time that we get all of our stuff together so we can get out the door. It's a time, Lord, where we do deep introspection into our spiritual life. Lord, we love You and we thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you